listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Men create the overwhelming majority in the country's jail population. But according to the American Jail Association, women make up 7% of that. And even though women are less likely to wind up behind bars, those that do face a unique set of challenges as they make their way through the criminal justice system. Here today to better help us understand female offenders are Judge Ramona Gonzalez with the La Crosse County Circuit Court. She's the presiding judge. Jane Claycamp is staff with Criminal Justice Management Council in La Crosse County. And Becky Spangers is supervisor with the La Crosse County Justice Support Services. So, of course, every person has their unique story and situation that they find themselves in. But women who end up in jail in La Crosse County, are there certain offenses that you see that they've typically been arrested for? Jane?
Probably the main thing that links them together would be that they tend to be overwhelmingly nonviolent. So whether it's drug-related, theft-related, some sort of property crime, the thing that really links them together is the lack of violence that goes along with the women. Mm-hmm. So they're not violent, but they tend to be chronic, and it's usually related to drugs or alcohol.
And, of course, men are arrested for the same reasons,
right,
too. So, between both sexes, are nonviolent crimes the majority of what make up the prison population in La Crosse County, or is it more specifically women?
I think that probably overall there are, generally speaking, nonviolent crimes are the most represented by people. But when you look at just the proportion, women tend to be tend to have fewer violent crimes than men, and that would be, I would say, across the country. Even when we did some research about looking at the needs that were presented between men and women, the women always came out as nonviolent compared mm-hmm. to the men.
So, Becky, are we talking maybe drug offenses, maybe
yes.
shoplifting?
Yes, drug offenses, shoplifting, bail jumping, alcohol use, violation of probation.
And when a woman becomes a female offender, Jane, you and I have talked about in the past how often she faces maybe a unique set of challenges in life. Can you explain that?
Mm-hmm. Again, lots of research says that overwhelmingly women have some sort of trauma from their background, whether it's childhood sexual abuse or other physical abuse or neglect or other kinds of traumatic experiences, whether they've experienced it repeatedly one time or seen other kinds of crime committed to others. Could be that one parent was battered by another or one mm-hmm. parent was abused by another. What tends to happen is that trauma it's linked to post-traumatic stress disorder, just like anyone else who's been traumatized, so that the women have an ongoing sort of trauma that goes along with being in the criminal justice system. So often when they're arrested, they're re-experiencing some of the trauma they experienced when they were younger. So when someone arrests them, it may feel like they're being abused again or the control is taken from them. So women experience a lot of trauma.
Becky, do you want to talk about that a bit more? You and I met with a number
yes.
of female offenders, former offenders at Ophelia's house recently, and this was something you brought up. Not many of the women really touched on some of their backgrounds, but
their backgrounds with the criminal justice system or with their families?
With their families.
With
whatnot.
Their families,
yeah.
Yes.
A few did. But.
We currently have a milieu of women there who have had interactions with each other. There's two sisters that are staying there. There was a mother and a daughter that were staying there. So we're seeing a lot of interaction with families themselves where the problem situations have started from very early on in life, which would entail substance abuse, theft, shoplifting, drugs, drug use, where they shared drug use. And then the trauma of living in a situation like that, neglect. So that's pretty much a lot of the background for the women that are there.
And Judge Gonzalez, did you want to add?
Everyone has a little bit of trauma, right? If you are in the perfect household and are raised perfectly, at some point in time, you have some loss mm-hmm. that creates the trauma. But the kind of trauma that presents itself in the courtroom are people who have been subject to what you can consider a toxic stress or mm-hmm. beyond what you and I would deem to be a good level of trauma, because we all need a little bit of extra motivation, and sometimes that happens to us with our stress hormones get moving. But these women that come to court, we're talking about a long-term chronic situation in which they are incapable sometimes of giving us precisely what we're asking them to do. And sometimes it's impossible for them to hear what we have to say. They can physically hear what you're saying to them, but it's not registering. It's not going into their frontal cortex. They're not able to use the executive function that you and I use to be able to make decisions in our lives. So we can repeatedly tell them, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And when they're in front of me, they're saying, yes, just yes, yes, yes. That's because they want to please me say that. But when they walk out the door, they're just not capable of actually performing at a level that they would like to.
So given the history that many of these women come with, how is it, and are they treated differently once they enter the criminal justice system here in La Crosse? Jane?
We try to do as much screening and assessment of every single individual that we can. So how they're treated differently is that we're aware that they're going to have special circumstances, whether it's children, they're going to have issues with child protection or, again, substance abuse or trauma or whatever it is, they tend to have more circumstances that need intervention than men do. So what happens is that while most people have a screening or an assessment, the women, we just try to be aware of other situations that may surface rather than that may not be an issue for men. So we just try to be aware of those situations.
And Judge Gonzalez, maybe when a woman comes up before you in court, how do you balance and do you balance maybe her past history and the trauma that she's endured with maybe the current situation she's found herself in, whether she was selling drugs or shoplifting?
At every level that someone is in the system, there's a different response. Clearly there's a response when they're arrested and they come in for purposes of setting bond, because at that point they're presumed innocent, right? And so what services and what we can impose on that person is different than what happens after conviction when I'm looking at a sentence. So the issue of whether or not somebody presents as a trauma victim or a trauma person offender, I can deal with much more effectively after conviction than before, because the trauma itself doesn't negate the criminal act. It's something that I consider after the conviction. Although, for purposes of setting bond, I have to make sure that the conditions I set make some sense and that the individual is able to comply with those conditions so that I'm not just having a revolving door with her coming back in over and over again on bail jumpings.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about women in the criminal justice system in La Crosse. My guests are Judge Ramona Gonzalez with the La Crosse County Circuit Court. She's the presiding judge. Jane Klangkamp is staff with the Criminal Justice Management Council in La Crosse County. And Becky Spangers is a supervisor with La Crosse County Justice Support Services. So can we talk about some of the programs that are available in La Crosse County for women, for female offenders? And maybe we can start with the programs that are available if they find themselves in jail, once they're in jail.
So I think in the jail they have access to educational programs, mm-hmm. and there is a staff person who goes up and once or twice a week talks to women. It might be about trauma or it might be about some cognitive behavioral kinds of mm-hmm. issues. And so in the jail there's actually less for the women to be able to have access to than there is in the community, even though I think that they also have access to recreational services and also probably the spiritual services that are in the jail also. So that tends to be where they have the kinds of services in the jail.
We have a social worker who goes up into the jail and she meets with the women. And she does the compasses in the jail and talks to the women about potential referral to Ophelia's house. But she also does a group in the jail. But she tries to introduce social skills as well, a social skills group that's based off the Thinking for a Change cognitive behavioral. She brings the social skills element of that to the jail for the women to learn. So, and we offer T4C in the community, so that is like the baseline to learn, and then they can start with the T4C having those skills in place when they leave jail.
And maybe once they are transitioning out of the jail, what services are available within the community? Of course, there's housing, mm-hmm. there's different support groups and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. So there's access to substance abuse, and there's access to trauma-informed care, whether it's Seeking Safety at Ophelia's House or some other groups in the community. Obviously, within the community, there are all the community providers. So it could be New Horizons. It could be different community programs, whether it's one of the hospitals or through another counseling agency where they can get some help. So there's substance abuse services, there's co-occurring disorder groups, housing, transportation. There's just so much more access once they are out of the jail. Also, education opportunities are expanded, so they just have more ability to be able to get linked back into the community and hopefully with supportive members of family or supportive community members.
And I think that's really the key, because without supportive community members and without supportive families, very difficult for these women to dig themselves out of the hole that they have created. You know, you have to first realize that there's trauma. You second have to do that hard work of facing the pain that brought that to the forefront. And then you have to give yourself permission to leave that behind and make a different life. Because otherwise, you're making the same choices over and over again that bring you back to the criminal justice system. And, you know, that's, probably the hardest thing that that women face. I mean, when we look at the population, it is nonviolent. And we're not talking about people who, a great majority of people who are inflicting physical injury on individuals. We're talking about people who are in physical pain and do things in life to deal with that pain, whether it's take substances or whether it's doing what an abusive boyfriend wants them to do so that they will like them, or, you know, making bad choices because they've got to go do 3,000 other things and they don't really have any place for their child and they can't pay the rent unless they go to work. And if they go to work, they won't have any child care. So they trying to figure out how to maneuver all those decisions that many of us take for granted that we make every day, that these women, because of where they come from and because of the trauma they've experienced, just don't have the capacity to make those same kinds of good decisions.
Right, because where do you go if you have to return to an abusive boyfriend or your only group of friends, everyone is using drugs?
Exactly, exactly. And it's really hard to turn away from that because that's all you've ever known. One of the hardest things on the horizon for us as judiciary is child sex trafficking. And my colleagues across the country are struggling with to bring these young women and stop using the word child prostitution and try and get everybody to use child sexual abuse, to stop calling Johns and call them exactly what they are, child molesters. But we as a society sort of just sit back and let some of this happen. And in many ways, the same issues permeate what some of these women have been through. So it's very difficult for one of the young women that we're working with to come forward and talk about the sexual assault, because in many ways, for her, what we see as her reality is not what she sees as her reality.
And Judge Gonzalez touched on this too, because so often the women, you know, 20 years ago we would have called them victims of something, but now they're adults and we tend to assume that they can make adult decisions. But really they've survived for a long time by suppressing a lot of the pain and not dealing with it, and any adult in their life wasn't very good at helping them deal with it. So what often we're dealing with is someone who emotionally is much younger than a 25 or a 35 or a 45-year-old, but because they look 25 or 35 or 45, people expect them to act that way. And often we are trying to get them to work with some of the feelings that are have that are really suppressed from when they were very young.
And Judge Gonzalez, you brought up the child sex human trafficking issue, but what about human trafficking within the adult population in La Crosse? I know this is something that's getting a little more attention sort of as the months go by. And when you look at human trafficking and you think about it in La Crosse, you know, you'll see the headlines about a prostitution bust. So how can you determine whether or not a woman was maybe making a choice for herself to support herself in that way, or if she was a victim of human trafficking?
Part of that is the problem we have with all women offenders. They have to trust, right? Because so many people have done so many things to inflict trauma on them that they don't have a lot of confidence that we're going to come along and do any better, right? So programs like Ophelia's House, programs like Justice Support Services say to people that are in this situation, we are here to make things better, not just to incarcerate people. We are here to improve the quality of life in our community. And to do that, we need everyone to be healthy, not just the people that we think deserve to be healthy. So part of that problem, of course, is repeated and consistent programming that sends that message. Because we may not get that first woman who's been trafficked to tell us that what her story is, but after she's come back a few times and begins to trust that Ophelia's House is not a place where we throw people away, or that Justice Support Services isn't there just to get people in trouble, there may come a time when she does speak forward and tell you the truth of what's going on. And, you know, sexual use of women goes back centuries, where we've been making headways in that field, but we still have a long way to go.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about women and the criminal justice system in the La Crosse area. My guests are Judge Ramona Gonzalez with La Crosse County Circuit Court. She's the presiding judge. Jane Claycamp is a staff with the Criminal Justice Management Council in La Crosse County. And Becky Spangers is supervisor with La Crosse County Justice Support Services. So, Becky, I'm wondering if you can talk about what exactly it is that La Crosse County Justice Support Services does provide.
For the women?
Yes.
At Ophelia's House specifically. We provide case management. A case plan that is goal-focused based on what the women are interested in. We identify different areas that they need to work on based on what the compass generated, but then talk to them about where it is they want to start. Most often they want to do what needs to be done to get their children back, to get supportive families back, just to get back into feeling like they matter. What does cause issues with the women is exactly what Judge Gonzalez and Jane spoke about, and that is this feeling, this sexual trauma that they've experienced that still draws them back to the very people that have affected them in their lives that way. We have lost women because the men in their lives made a phone call to them and they felt like they had to go back and redo what they did. So often what we've helped them do becomes undone. And then the trust issue, as Judge Gonzalez referred to, is they have to learn to trust that, again, Ophelia's House recognizes the struggle, recognizes that there are services in place that haven't been in place before, and we want to help them get vocationally feeling strong, to understand that they can accomplish things, that their families will support them if they can meet those little goals. So that's what we work with, and we put different services in place to help them meet their goals. We have Workforce Connections that comes into the house and tries to work with them on employment reliability. We have a computer at the house that they can access where they can do their job searches. We work with them on incentives where they can get excited about purchasing things because they earned them. It's a very small approach based on the bigger story when they leave Ophelia's House, but make those little goals, reach those little goals that you set on a weekly basis and get some kind of an incentive back. They like that. It excites them and it gives them a motivation. We have a child care room there. We have child care services where they can bring children to the home and have supervised visits. They can bring family to the home and have supervised visits. Males cannot come into the home, but they can leave the house and they can go reconnect with their families based on what their case plan tells them. So they totally understand that what we have in place is what they can pick from. It's like pick and choose mm-hmm. where you want to go and we'll help you get there. And then the courts support us beautifully so that when we have issues and we have to report a violation, it's not that slap into jail anymore. It's, okay, what are they going to do different?
And Ophelia's House is run in collaboration with the county and the YWCA,
that's correct?
Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you necessarily classify it, but is it considered a jail alternative, a halfway house? Is it beyond titles?
Yeah, it might be beyond titles. That might be a best way to say it. It's not really a jail alternative, and it's not a group home, and it's not a halfway house. It was really designed for women who are in the criminal justice system and who are homeless or don't have a safe place to live, because every other woman can go to her own home. So we really designed it as a way to help reduce the jail population, but it's not considered, you know, a jail alternative, but it's a place for women who basically are homeless or don't have a safe place to live. It's often used for women who are in the treatment courts mm-hmm. Or who, you know, their other option might be the Salvation Army or some other program like that. So it was really designed in that way. And then we also added in the wraparound services so that women could take advantage of those and, again, hopefully have some ability to change the trajectory of their life.
And how many beds does Ophelia's house have? How many women can stay there at any given time?
A total of 10. It's a duplex, so 5 women can stay on each side.
And are you generally finding that it's filled at any given point in time? Or
our average in 2013 was about 7. Mm-hmm. So it's not always full, but that seems to be a pretty manageable number, is 7. It seems like things stay more even-keeled when there's 7 versus 10.
So something like Ophelia's house, is that unique in Wisconsin or in the country?
It certainly is unique in Wisconsin. You would see similar things that would be much more, it would be either a substance abuse, or sometimes you'll find halfway houses for women who are pregnant. Mm-hmm. Larger communities will have them for women who are in the criminal justice system. So there are houses like that, but for this type of setup, it's pretty unique in that there was a choice not to staff it 24/7, but instead to have all the women on electronic monitoring with cameras that monitor their movement. So it was done specifically so it allows the women to have more choice about what they do with their lives. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a matter of managing every second of their life and monitoring everything that they do.
But some of that has changed now after an incident a handful of months back. I'm wondering if one of you want to touch on that. And kind of the changes that have come as a result of what happened at Ophelia's house?
Sure.
Jane?
Yep. In February, there was a situation where there were 4 women at the house at that time, and 2 of the women had gone out during, it was a Saturday, and had gone out and had consumed alcohol and then came back to the house and used heroin. And the other 2 women who did not go with them actually are pretty amazing what they did. They sat with the women, and when they noted that they were overdosing, they contacted 911. They provided some of the rescue efforts until the EMTs were there, and really were cooperative with everybody who came along. So what happened then was law enforcement and talked to me, and we actually had a fairly a good conversation about just they did a search of the house. And besides the drugs that were used on that day, there were no other drugs found. Any other drugs that were found were drugs that ibuprofen or different things like that. So they weren't illegal drugs. So since that time, we've worked with the YW, and they have been partners in this all along, just in trying to figure out how do we modify staffing, how do we increase staffing. We also had an expert from the National Institute of Corrections come into La Crosse and help us figure out what we should do differently. And last week, the Criminal Justice Management Council also agreed to ask for more technical assistance to help us figure out the next steps. So, we have been attentive to the situation and trying to make changes that make sense for the community and also for the house.
Does a situation like that leave a stigma on Ophelia's house or change the way that you all maybe think of handling women?
Well,
Judge Gonzalez?
If we had a magic wand that we could change people magically, like Cinderella suddenly transforms like the beautiful princess heading to the ball, or if I had a black, or what do you call it, crystal ball where I could read into the future to see how things go, we would always make the decisions perfectly. But I don't have any of that. And so it is an imperfect world, and we're trying to do the best we can to assure safety for the community and improvement, rehabilitating mothers to take care of their children so that they don't have to be in foster care. Encouraging individual women to get jobs, to pay back restitution, so that people who are out the money they stole from them, be it by a bad check or whatever, get their money back. Just the impact of changing people's lives for the better, as opposed to locking them up, making no effort, and understanding that when they walk out of the incarceration, they're the exact same person as when they walked in, with the same problems, the same stresses, and also no way to change the life's choices that they have before them. So I think Ophelia's house is not perfect. It's a work in progress, just like all of our criminal justice system is a work in progress. And when we lose sight of the fact that we are a work in progress, that's when we can really fall down the rabbit hole. Because to demand perfection in a place where perfection is unattainable, then that discourages people to reach for the stars. And that's really what we're asking these women to do, to reach for the stars, to do something better than what they have done, and in doing so, to improve our community. So we've had some problems at Ophelia's house, but I'm very hopeful for the future.
And in regards to other housing for maybe former female offenders, is Ruth's House and then the other transitional housing programs through YWCA, do you work within those programs, Becky?
We don't work within them, but some of the women who are at Ophelia's House, they are encouraged to apply to those programs, and they can segue from Ophelia's House to Ruth's House, for example. There are requirements at Ruth's House that you have to have treatment. You have to be clean for 30 days, I believe it is. And if you have an issue with that, then Ophelia's House can be an option where we can help, you know, get you established with sobriety again. But that's a requirement. And then transitional housing, they all have certain requirements. But everyone, that's one of the resources that are brought to the table when the women start talking about planning to exit Ophelia's House. What do you qualify for? TBER housing is a really big one. We encourage women to do apply for TBER housing. That requires a case manager. So oftentimes we will stay on board and continue to case manage so they can stay in that housing even though they're out of our system. So it's all about supporting them to help keeping them moving. And we see it. And we see the women get stronger 4 times through, 5 times through. They get stronger. It takes a long time for them to realize what's...
They get stronger. They get their kids. They reunite with their children. Yeah. We get children out of foster care. We make stronger families for the future. It really is sort of just one more step and in this process of improving the quality of life for people here in this community. I have often said that if I could win the lottery tomorrow, I would build a big house, and I would have that house available for a lot of women, because we can't service everyone. You know, when Jane talks about the criteria for getting into Ophelia's House, that's people who are just homeless. But in addition to that, we have a significant population of women who are just barely getting by. And just to find affordable housing that is available for them and their families, their children, is a struggle. If we could do that, I think we would go a long way to making this community better also. But We're going to grab hold of those 10 beds we have at Ophelia's House now. We're going to be grateful to the beds we have at Ruth's House, and we're going to just hope for the future that some magic will happen, and that happen will be more of this housing made available to help improve the lives of women and children here in La Crosse.
Judge Ramona Gonzalez is with the La Crosse County Circuit Court, and she's the presiding judge. Jane Claycamp is staff with the Criminal Justice Management Council in La Crosse County. And Becky Spangers is a supervisor with La Crosse County's Justice Support Services. Today, we were talking about women in the criminal justice system in La Crosse. Listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, hear from women working through their recovery at Ophelia's House and former residents who have gotten back on their feet. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other recent editions, and if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, photos, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.